You know, something that I've heard all of my life growing up in the church is that the church is not a building. And I understand what that means. I understand that this bricks and mortar and wood and electronic wiring and all the things that we have, that's not anything but a building. But truly, if you were reading along with Joel just a moment ago, you found out that we are built up as a spiritual house. And that the church is really a building. It's a spiritual building. It's built up of living stones. And that's the kind of concept I want us to think about and challenge, because the Bible uses a lot of metaphors to describe what the church is all about. The story is told about an ancient king of Sparta back in ancient Greece. And there was on one occasion another monarch who had come to visit. And the king of Sparta talked about the mighty walls of Sparta. But when the other king looked around, he saw no walls. And so he finally says to his host, he says, "I would like to see those walls. Show them to me. You keep talking about the walls. I want to see the walls." And then the king of Sparta pointed out with great satisfaction the discipline of the well-trained troops of Sparta's mighty army. And he exclaimed, "There are the walls of Sparta." You see, each soldier in his training was viewed by the king is a brick in the walls of that Spartan force. It's just the same way that God is dealing in our text today by talking about Christians being living stones built up into a spiritual house. So when you read 1 Peter 2 and verses 4 and verse 5, and I want you to look back again at those verses as we begin our thoughts today, he talks about how we're coming to him a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, Jesus is the cornerstone. We'll talk about that as we go along. But he said, you also, church, are living stones and are being built up into a spiritual house. And so there is something about this analogy of a building. There's something about a house that we have to understand if we're going to understand the Word of God. If we're going to understand exactly what he's trying to teach us here, then we need to understand what kind of building are we? What are we supposed to be? How are we supposed to be understood and function as a spiritual house? You know, I mentioned that there are a lot of analogies used in the New Testament to talk about the church. And each one of them has a special meaning to Christians. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul said, "Even if I'm delayed from you, you will know how to live in the family of God. The family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of truth." The New Century Version says, it talks about the household of God. And so the idea there is that there is a family aspect that we need to understand. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. God is our Father in heaven. Jesus is our elder brother. There's a family relationship. There's that household of God or the family of God that we understand is the church. And when we're apart from each other, we miss each other just as family. In Ephesians 1, starting in verse 22, Paul again is talking to the church there. He talks about the church in a different analogy where he talks about his body. He said he put all things under his, that is Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. And there's something about the body that tells us how that each part needs each other and that we're put together in the body of Christ for use, and the eyeball can't say to the mouth, "I have no need of you." And Paul talks a great deal about what it is to be a part of the body of Christ. But you know, I don't ever hear anybody say the church is not a body. I just hear them say the church is not a building. The church is a spiritual building made up of living stones out of Christians. And if that were not true, why would he have said so? The church, when it comes to the way the church is governed and the way that we act, it's called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of his son. Colossians 1:13 says he delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the son of his love, in whom he gave the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. God's church is called a lot of things, but in our text in 1 Peter 2 and verses 4 and 5, it said that you are built up a spiritual house. That's a building. You're built up. And that way, and you need to understand that, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and following, Paul goes a little bit further, and he uses this building analogy, this building of a house analogy, where he says, "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God," talking about that group that comes together, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. We're a house built on the foundation of the teachings of the apostles, the prophets, with Jesus being the cornerstone. If Jesus isn't the cornerstone, we're in the wrong house. You need to understand that. It talks about in whom the whole building, again the concept of building, being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, for you also are being built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so he keeps using this building and he says the building is fit together. There was a game that was popular, oh, it's probably 100 years ago now, but when computers first came out, called Tetris. Does anybody remember the Tetris game where the little blocks came down and you fit them together and you tried to make, I guess, a rectangle or something. I'm not sure what we tried to make. And you try to turn it and make sure you got it in the right spot and make it fall into place. The church is fit together the way God wanted it to be. Everybody has a place and everybody needs to be in that place. And when we come together, we make up the church of God, which is a spiritual house. But you got to have the right foundation. But God, just as when he talks about the body, each part has its function. When he talks about the building, each part has its place to play. That is to say, none of us are individually separated from the rest of us if we're part of the body of Christ, if we're part of the church of Christ, if we're part of God's building, his spiritual household, which is the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. He's talking about his church here when he calls it a building. And so I want to make a few observations about a building, about this building, about the spiritual building that we comprise, that we make up. Every building needs blueprints. Blueprints, you understand, to be the plans by which the building is built. The specifications, the details of how to build a house. I once heard of a building that was being put up. It was actually a two-story house. And when they came to building the second story, they were having all kinds of problems making things match up. And they worked and they worked and they tried to make accommodation. And finally, it was discovered that there were two different foremen, one working on the second floor and one working on the first floor. And the problem was they had two different sets of blueprints. There's one set of blueprints for the house of God. There's one set of blueprints for God, and that is His Word. We call it the Holy Bible, and we need to make sure that we're following our blueprint. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles or the teachings or speakings of God. We got to follow God's word, not man's word, not the latest whim, not the latest popularity poll. But if we're going to follow the blueprint that's been laid out for us, it's found in the Word of God. In John chapter 17 and 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You got to have the correct blueprints. You got to have the true ones, the correct ones. And that's only found in the Word of God. So if you want to say, well, here's what the Word says, but you know that's not popular anymore. There's a lot of doctrine that's not popular. There's a lot of Bible that people don't want to hear. It doesn't change the plan. If you look at houses in America over the centuries that we've been here, houses used to be a lot smaller. There was a time when a room was all you had was one room, and you had a bed, a cot, or whatever you laid out, or maybe a loft or whatever. Most of you don't live in a one-room house anymore. But you know, God doesn't change His plan. It's important that we understand what He would have us to do. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When it says in the name of the Lord, that means by the authority of God. He is the architect. He is the one who's given us instructions of how to build His house, this spiritual house that we call the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16 verse 18, I will build my church. It's a building that has to be built, put together. It has to have the right foundation. It has to have the right specifications. We have to follow the blueprint, the plan. Hebrews 3 and verse 4 says, every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is God. So in Matthew 16, 18, when Jesus says to Peter, I say unto you, you're Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's building his church according to God's plan, God's holy and mighty plan. I've already mentioned this, but it's a key concept that Jesus is the cornerstone. Today you might find a building that's being built that has a ceremonial cornerstone. built in such and such a year, built by such and such person, the architect, the whoever, the mayor, the whatever it was. And there may be a cornerstone that has some etching or just a date on it or whatever. But this is a cornerstone that holds the whole foundation together. It's not a ceremonial. It's an integral part of the building. And you know, the problem with a lot of people today is they're using the wrong thing for the cornerstone. They're using the wishes of men, pleasure, individual wants, likes, dislikes. If you come back and you build it on the cornerstone of Jesus, you're going to have a sound foundation. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 18, talking about this cornerstone, he said, coming to him as the living stone rejected indeed by men. Talking about Jesus. Jesus has been rejected. I don't know how many of you have been through the process of building a house, but there comes a place where you go in and you select colors for what color you want the house to be painted. And you select flooring for what you want in different rooms. And maybe you select fixtures that are going to go in the house. When it comes to building this house, which is the house of God, this spiritual house, men said, we don't want Jesus. We want to try something else, something different, something new, something pleasing to me. That's a critical flaw in the building. He says, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, of great value. An integral part of the building is Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. Verse 6, he says, therefore, as is also said in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, that he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, you who believe, he is precious. To those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You know, if you don't know who Jesus is, you'll never know how precious he is, how valuable he is. If you don't understand what it means to be built upon the Son of God, then you'll follow the world every time. And if you're following what everybody is saying ought to be done and what's popular, you'll follow the world. And it's amazing to me as the political season begins to heat up again, how things are flowing back and forth by popularity. I don't know what'll happen by the time we get to the election, but it's everything from who looks, who sounds, who has the biggest show. Jesus said when it comes to building his church, his house, the Father said, Jesus has got to be the cornerstone. We're not trying to be a social club. We're not trying to be a benevolent organization. We must be the church of Christ, built upon Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Any other foundation is the wrong foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 and following, Paul writes the church at Corinth, and he says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, the same theme being carried throughout, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the end. No addition, no change to the plans, no revision, no, we ran out of money. There is no other foundation but Jesus died, crucified, buried, and raised again. If you've got any other plan, it's the wrong plan. If you've got any other material, it's the wrong material. If you've got any other vision, it's the wrong vision. There's just one acceptable cornerstone foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. But let me talk a little bit about this building. This building is always a building in progress. And by that I mean it's never completed as long as we're alive. For every time one obeys the gospel and is baptized into Christ, there's another spiritual stone placed in the building. I don't know what your house is like, but you modify, you paint, you repaint, you add on a room, you do those different things, and it's a work in progress often. Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's talking about this building, and he's using a different metaphor. This time he's using one of planting and growing and watering. He says, I planted and Apollos watered. God gave the increase, so there's neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who water are one. Each one will receive his own according to his own labor. It's an ongoing process. Foundation's got to be right. But if you were taught, you need to teach somebody else. Maybe you start teaching and somebody else finishes teaching. There are people I know who've grown up all their life in the Lord's church and have never come to the point to decide that they want to be a Christian. People who maybe didn't grow up there but have been attending Lord's church for 20, 30, 40 years, maybe more, have never become a Christian. And it may be that there have been 2 people, 10 people, or 20 people who've been involved in the preaching and teaching. But folks, God gives the increase. The building continues. We're not through. I remember the story of a church out in Texas one time. And the way I heard the story was this. On the church property, they discovered an oil well. And they had to decide what to do with this newfound income. So they brought together in a business meeting, not one of them in our fellowship. I'm not even sure it's real. It's just a story that I heard. And so here's what they decided to do. The first thing they decided to do is we will divide the wealth of the oil well among all the members. Second thing they decided to do is we will accept no more members. We're just going to keep it here with us, and we're going to keep the proceeds of the oil, and we're not going to share it with anybody. It's just going to be us. It's kind of like the guy who prayed, God bless me and my wife, my son John, his wife, us four, no more. That is not the way the church goes. And sometimes when you look around at the way that we're reaching out, we're not reaching out, we're just taking care of ourselves. The church continues to grow and is supposed to continue to grow. Verse 9, he said, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Listen to him. You are God's building. According to the grace which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. We are responsible for building the church of God. We are responsible for adding more people. It is our job to do that, to keep on building. The psalmist said in Psalm 127 and verse 1, except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build a house. Folks, we got to go back to God's plan. As the church a building, God uses that as an illustration in His holy word. But there's some important parts in there. Number one, we're supposed to be builders on the foundation of Christ. Christ must be the chief cornerstone and the primary foundation. We have to follow God's blueprint. We have to go by His plan, and God will build the house. He'll use us. He'll continue to do it. The question for you this morning is, are you a part of that building? Are you a faithful part of that building? Are you a part that's no longer working, no longer effective? Do you need to be restored? Do you need to be added to the body of Christ, the building of Christ? This morning you will make a decision. You'll make a decision either that you are faithful or that you are not. You'll make a decision that you're in the household of God or that you're not in the household of God. You'll make a decision that you should or you shouldn't become a Christian. You'll make a decision that you should or shouldn't get your life right. But the only way with hope is if you're part of God's house. There's one way, and it's through Jesus Christ and through His church. This morning, if we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?